The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, October 27th, 2010, and it's 6 days away from changing the world. Election Day is this November 2nd, the coming Tuesday, and we'll be coming to you live from Prop 19 headquarters in Oaksterdam. So check it out all day, November 2nd on Tuesday. Joining me there, bringing us the coverage with an 85% probability, is my good friend and half-half sister up in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon. It's Cannabis Carrie.
Updating it to an 89% chance.
Oh, we're up to 89%. That's fantastic. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
we are all very excited about Prop 19. I have been getting into Twitter wars, Carrie. You know, I'm all over the Twitter. You know that?
Oh, gosh. I have to check. I've been so busy this morning and last night. I can't wait. Maybe after the show, I'll get on my Twitter and read all what's going on. What's happening out there, Russ, in Twitter universe?
Well, it seems it seems that Medican's not too happy with me.
Oh,
yeah, I've been calling them out on Twitter, you know, for their $150 permission slips that they'll be losing 2/3 of their customers, you know, when Prop 19 passes. I mean, if you can grow a 5x5 garden and harvest 12 to 24 ounces out of that every 90 days, you don't really have much need to go get your Prop 215 recommendation. They know it, and they are protecting their own bottom line. Anyway, they're not too happy about it. So if you're out on the Twitter, look up at Medican, M-E-D-I-C-A-N-N, if you want to catch the entire Twitter war. But we got more important things to talk about today. And the first thing we'll talk about is our hemp headlines, which Carrie brings to us right after the first break. So what's in the news, Carrie?
Yeah, we got some great stories today. One story from one of my personal heroes, Doug Hyatt, up there in Washington State. He's covering a trial, and it's very interesting, so I'm going to talk about that. Also, New Jersey finally started its medical marijuana program. We're going to talk about the spitters and spats of it trying to churn this program out and make it work. And also, we've got some cannabis health news for our Wednesday health show with Dr. Mitch.
Yeah, that's perfect. Also, in today's news, I'll be bringing you some reefer madness from the California Chamber of Commerce, which is threatening disasters of biblical proportions if Prop 19 were to pass. You'll want to hear the ad and my response to it. Also, we've got Daily Toker Tunes today. Today we cover our Irie Wednesday and Grateful Dread Public Radio brings us some great stuff. We'll be playing that later on in the day. At half past the hour, as Carrie mentioned, it is our cannabis science segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be answering your live chat questions and live call-in questions on cannabis science. And to round out the show, we've got a live press conference recorded just 2 hours ago from the Latino Officers Association supporting Prop 19, along with Stephen Gutwillig from Drug Policy Alliance California and Dale Sky Jones, the spokesperson for Prop 19. All of that's coming up. Plus, in our live hour two, we'll tell you about a terrible Seattle raid and my battles with the anti-Prop 19 folks. Stick around. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We'll be right back.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Just have freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do whatever.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Two defense attorneys in Washington State are refusing to fully participate in a marijuana growing case in protest of a judge's ruling that they cannot present a medical marijuana defense. The case involves 58-year-old William Kurtz, who was arrested in March after the Thurston County Narcotics Force found 42 plants in his home. Kurtz said outside of the courtroom on Tuesday that he did grow the marijuana, but he did not sell any of it. Kurtz appeared in court in a wheelchair and suffers from hereditary spastic paraplegia, according to a letter from an Olympia physician. Kurtz, whose speech is slurred, has progressive loss of function related to the familial neurologic condition. His doctor's letter was presented to Thurston County Superior Court Judge Carol Murphy on Monday, but not allowed into evidence. After the prosecuting attorney presented his motion Monday to bar Kurtz from making a medical marijuana defense, Mr. Kurtz's lawyers, Doug Hyatt and Dave Lestow, said they should have been given more time to prepare a response. Instead, Murphy ruled in favor of Jackson's motion on Monday and continued to opening statements. The deputy prosecuting attorney, Scott Jackson, had asked that Kurtz be barred from presenting the defenses because he maintains that Kurtz does not qualify for the defense under the state's medical marijuana statute and insisted that the 42 plants and the additional 700 grams of cannabis found inside his home would have been more than the loosely defined 60-day supply granted by the state's medical marijuana statute. Murphy granted the motion, and William Kurtz did not have any valid documentation that he qualified for medical marijuana when detectives went to his house on March 1st for a, quote, knock-and-talk operation. They found cannabis on Mr. Williams, and he immediately admitted that he grew marijuana. Kurtz's attorneys say that, unfortunately for their client, there is no treatment to prevent or cure his condition, and he is left to manage his symptoms that include severely chronic daily pain. Under Washington state law, the medical use of cannabis can benefit patients diagnosed with a medical condition like Kurtz's spasticity disorder. Kurtz says that he uses marijuana to help manage his pain on a daily basis. Now, on Tuesday, Kurtz's attorney did not make an opening statement. The trial for unlawful manufacture of marijuana and unlawful possession of marijuana went ahead, but the defense lawyers did not say anything until the judge finally asked them if they had any objection to the prosecution's exhibit, where Lasto replied, quote, "No response, Your Honor." Neither defense lawyers cross-examined the three prosecution witnesses, and outside of the courthouse on Tuesday, the prosecuting attorney, Jackson, declined to comment on the case, citing that the trial is ongoing. But defense attorney Doug Hyatt stated outside of the courtroom that he believes the Washington State Supreme Court ruled back in January that a defendant can move forward with a medical defense if he can present a written authorization with a Washington State physician that he has a qualifying condition, whether that authorization was written before or after criminal charges had been filed. Lestow says the ruling was unfair on a procedural level. They are both committed to appealing to a higher court if Kurtz is convicted. Jurors are expected to hear closing arguments in the Kurtz case today.
You know, this is just yet another reason why we have to move forward with full legalization, even for healthy people, because no matter how you write a medical marijuana law, there are going to be prosecutors and judges and cops that hate potheads, and they don't care what excuse they think you're given, you know, oh, you're sick or whatever. They're going to continue to treat us badly and continue to pad their arrest statistics and their conviction statistics by going after patients. It's going to keep happening until we completely legalize for everyone.
New Jersey doctors began enrolling some of the state's sickest patients in their state's medical marijuana program on yesterday. To comply with the strict state's medical marijuana laws, the doctors found that before they recommend medical marijuana for a patient, they must agree to tell the patient there's a, quote, lack of scientific consensus that the drug works and that it could even hurt them. Physicians must sign off on a statement attesting to their patient's condition and the failure of conventional medicine to help alleviate their suffering. One extra burden New Jersey's physicians have to be compliant with the program is the requirement to provide, quote, education for the patient on the lack of scientific consensus for the use of medical marijuana, its sedative properties, and the risk of addiction, unquote. State health spokesman Donna Lesner described the statement as reasonable, saying marijuana, like other drugs that affect the central nervous system, has the potential to cause a patient to become addicted. Ken Wolski, a nurse and executive director of the advocacy group Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey, called the requirement, quote, a blatant political statement that further proves Governor Chris Christie's administration is trying to weaken the program before it even starts. He says the required statement shows open hostility to the use of marijuana as medicine. Now, another troubling situation for doctors that decide to recommend cannabis for their patients is an online registry form that requires the doctors to attest they have completed education in, quote, addiction medicine and pain management within the past 2 years. Wolski contends that isn't in the original law. This is just the latest controversy with New Jersey's medical marijuana program. The law's authors say they are so disappointed in the state's health and senior services department's restrictive approach to the rules that they have threatened to repeal them if the Christie administration won't compromise. Now, even though patients began the process of assessing their medical marijuana as a treatment yesterday, they will not be able to buy any until July of next year. But starting yesterday, physicians could visit the health department's website, enter their name, medical license number, and the Drug Enforcement Administration's number that permits them to write prescriptions. After their information is confirmed, the doctors can then enroll patients by name, medical condition, and give those patients a code number to apply for an identification card. As of yesterday, even with all those restrictions, 17 physicians had already registered online.
Oh, this New Jersey thing just gets worse and worse. What a nightmare. And this is the direction medical marijuana laws are going in this country. They're not going to get more liberal. They're going to get more and more strict. Yet another reason we have to move forward with full legalization. I mean, requiring these doctors to tell their patients that there's no scientific consensus on the medical utility of cannabinoids is like having to force high school textbooks to say, well, you know, there's no proof that God didn't make the earth in 6 days, 6,000 years ago, or having to put on textbooks, you know, there's not really any proof that pollution doesn't harm the environment. I mean, come on now. The scientific proof has long been in. We've got over 19,000 published studies on the medical use of cannabinoids. We've got the federal government patenting the use of cannabinoids as neuroprotectants. We have studies going back as far back as 1974 showing the utility of cannabinoids in effective treatment of cancer. And we got 14 states and at least a million patients out there who can tell you out of their own mouth that cannabis is medicine. This is just politicking once again from the Christie administration that doesn't want to implement the will of the people.
And this from the Normal News Wire. Compounds in cannabis may offset some of the adverse effects of alcohol on the adolescent brain, according to clinical trial data published online by the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs. Investigators at the University of California at San Diego assessed the cognitive performance of 130 adolescents, 65 with histories of heavy marijuana use and 65 non-marijuana using controls. They ranged in age from 15.7 to 19.1 years. Authors reported that the use of marijuana appeared to moderate the adverse effects of alcohol on verbal learning and memory. Researchers determined, quote, regression models revealed that greater alcohol hangover symptoms predicted worse verbal learning and memory scores for non-marijuana users, but alcohol hangover symptoms were not linked to performance among marijuana users, unquote. They ended up concluding, results confirm previous studies linking adolescent heavy drinking to reduced verbal learning and memory performance. However, this relationship is not seen in adolescents with similar levels of alcohol involvement who are also heavy users of marijuana. A previous study published in 2009 reported that binge drinkers who also use cannabis experienced significantly less white matter damage to the brain as compared to subjects who consumed alcohol alone. Binge drinkers who also use marijuana did not show as consistent a divergent from non-users as did the binge drink only group. Investigators concluded in that study that it is possible that marijuana may have some neuroprotective properties in mitigating alcohol-related oxidative stress or excitotoxic cell death. Commenting on the findings, Normal Deputy Director Paul Armentano said, quote, alcohol and cannabis appear to have contrasting effects on the human brain. He said ethanol is clearly toxic to healthy and developing cells, whereas moderate doses of cannabinoids appear to be relatively non-toxic and possibly even neuroprotective.
That's fantastic news, and we know about the neuroprotective properties of cannabis. But this is not an endorsement for teens to go out there and binge drink and then try to mitigate it with marijuana. We do find that the impairment that you have from alcohol is exacerbated by marijuana. The marijuana makes your drunkenness worse, as Carrie and I know about someone who once alcoholed marijuana. So be careful out there, kids, and if you have to make a choice, make the choice for pot instead of booze, not pot on top of booze.
Is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Well, it's 6 days before the election, and the reefer madness is running high in California. The California Chamber of Commerce has come out with a recent radio ad that's playing all over the Golden State that warns people about the dangers if Prop 19 were to pass. This comes on the heel of a memo that was uncovered, leaked to those of us in the marijuana community, where the internal memo points out how they're having difficulty convincing businesses that Prop 19 would be a bad idea, and apparently they've decided the only way they can convince them is to lie to them about what Prop 19 does. Here's the radio ad.
Imagine coming out of surgery and the nurse caring for you was high, or having to work harder on your job to make up for a coworker who shows up high on pot. It could happen in California if Proposition 19 passes. Prop 19 would do more than simply legalize marijuana. Prop 19 is worded so broadly that it would hurt California's economy, raise business costs, and make it harder to create jobs. Employees would be allowed to come to work high, and employers would be unable to punish an employee for being high until after a workplace accident. Not only could workers' compensation premiums rise, businesses will lose millions in federal grants for violating federal drug laws. California's economy is bad enough. Prop 19 will hurt workers and business and cost jobs. 25 California newspapers, including the LA Times and the San Diego Union, and Dianne Feinstein agree. Vote no on Prop 19. Paid for by California Business PAC, sponsored by California Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, yeah, of course, none of that is true. But as I heard that ad, you know, there was this nagging feeling I had, and I thought, you know, God, that sounds familiar. I know I've heard that advertisement before, and not, you know, earlier in this campaign, but a long, long time ago. So I did. I went back to the archives, and I found this California Chamber of Commerce ad from 1996. It's just amazingly similar.
Imagine coming out of surgery and the nurse caring for you was high, or having to work harder on your job to make up for a coworker who shows up high on pot. It could happen in California if Proposition 215 passes. Prop 215 would do more than simply legalize medical marijuana. Prop 215 is worded so broadly that it would hurt California's economy, raise business costs, and make it harder to create jobs. Patients would be allowed to come to work high, and employers would be unable to punish patients for being high until after a workplace accident. Not only could workers' compensation premiums rise, businesses will lose millions in federal grants for violating federal drug laws. California's economy is bad enough. Prop 215 will hurt workers and business and cost jobs. 25 California newspapers, including the LA Times and the San Diego Union, and Dianne Feinstein agree. Vote no on Prop 215. Paid for by California Business PAC, sponsored by California Chamber of Commerce.
All right, you all know that last one was a joke, right? But it is. It's the same crap they were trying to spew when Prop 215 was coming out, that if we passed it, it'd be the end of federal contracts and workers and safety.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
So what I'm saying is don't believe the hype. They said the same crap with Prop 215. It wasn't true then. It's not true now. Vote yes on Prop 19.
If he said he swam to China, he would send to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
There's a crisis in California.
Actually, this is Dr. Talleyrand, Jean Talleyrand. I represent 200,000 patients throughout the state of California. Our company's name is Medican, and we are not dispensers of marijuana. We are medical marijuana evaluators.
Clinics like Medican that write permission slips to use marijuana could join California's unemployed on November 2nd. California's Prop 19 would mean you could grow, possess, share, and even buy cannabis to treat your ailments without medical permission slips. Do you really think you can manage your own herbal health care without a $150 doctor's note? If you vote yes on 19, it means no tickets, no permission slips, and no Medican. You wouldn't want that, would you?
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers in Des Moines, Iowa. America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, now available on iTunes and CD, baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey now friends, Grateful Dread here from the studios of Grateful Dread Public Radio, the progressive peace voice of Summit, New Jersey. Check out our kind music mix and news talk at gdreadradio.net. We're keeping very busy here at GDPR. We're working on our fall season. We're getting ready for the holidays, gearing up for the elections, encouraging everybody to get out there and vote, sending Get Better Beams to Ganja John. Feel better soon. And we're presenting this week's Irie Wednesday Toker Tune for Normal Show Live. And this one's a keeper. Zion Omi is a young singer on the rise. The half-Italian, half-Creole St. Lucian got his start as a Bob Marley devotee, freestyling in the classroom for his friends. Now, his music, which covers lovers rock, reggae, dancehall, soca, and compa, is getting heard on radio stations around the globe. What sets Zion Omi apart? Heart, passion, exuberance. Those qualities, collectively rendered as joy, literally radiate from his songs. And you'll find joy on full blast in today's Normal Show Live Irie Wednesday track. It's Rolia by Zion Omi.
Please stop now.
Yeah, oh, Zion Omi again, yo. Rolia, put me razzler around, yo. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade, cause when me smoke, me feel nice. The buds me well want to squeeze, yo. Get the THC in, yo. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade, that me smoke, forget wise. Me eyes them red, I me no care. Me we smoke it anytime, anywhere. By the cops, them me no fear. From his green grass, I will be there. Me, I get want a me no left my own. Full calabash, me no want no money. Want the weed, me want to burn it. You know, say me need it. Roll ya, put me wrestler around ya. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. Cause when me smoke, me feel nice. The boss me will want to squeeze ya. Get the THC in you. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. Cause when me smoke, me get wise. Me take me bike and me room, 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 room. Try that so free and come back soon, 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 soon. Put the two pong in a me room, 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 room. The dealer come check I this afternoon. Informers everywhere, them a search for the rest, them out there.
Me there's no sure red smoke, same time disappear. Them wanna know if the rest are in here.
Roll ya, put me red love around ya. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. Cause when me smoke, me feel nice. The buds me well want to squeeze ya. Get the THC in you. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. That me smoke, forget wise. Me eyes them red and me no care. Me we smoke it anytime, anywhere. By the cops, them me no fear. From his green grass, I will be there. Me a get a youth and me no left my own. Full calabash and me no want no money. Want the weed, me want to smoke it. Ganja me need it. Roll ya, put me razzler around ya. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. Cause when me smoke, me feel nice. The buds me well want to squeeze ya. Get the THC in you. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. Cause when me smoke, me get wise. Me take me bike and me room, 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 room. Try that so free and come back soon, 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 soon. Put the two pong in a me room, 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 room. The dealer come check I this afternoon. Informers everywhere, them a search for the rest, them out there.
Me there's no sure red smoke, same time disappear. Them wanna know if the rest are in here.
Roll ya, put me razzler around ya. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. Cause when me smoke, me feel nice. The buds me well want to squeeze ya. Get the THC in you. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. That me smoke, forget wise. Roll ya, put me razzler around ya. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. Cause when me smoke, me feel nice. The buds me well want to squeeze ya. Get the THC in you. I'm a love smoke, the highest grade. That me smoke, forget wise.
Yeah, man. Guys, please, I'm going to get a power to solve my ponder culture. Yeah, boy, long time. Ganja media.
Ganja media.
Of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding, then you consent. In most states, you will be arrested immediately, and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war, and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
Good morning. Welcome to all of you. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are joined here by a remarkable panel of speakers to discuss, as a matter of fact, the Latino National Latinos Officer Association is joining a tremendous coalition. We've been here once before when we welcomed the Latino Voters League, and since then we've also had the largest advocacy organization, LULAC, join our coalition, along with the NAACP and the Black Officers Association. I'm excited today to turn this over, this most important conversation about how we are spending our resources here in California, to a man that comes with tremendous experience. In fact, 16 years of experience. He is the leading authority as president of the William C. Velasquez Institute, leading authority on Latino policy issues, voting demographics, and opinion trends. Please, Mr. Gonzalez, Antonio Gonzalez.
Thank you. Thank you, Dale. I want to thank everyone for coming today. My name is Antonio Gonzalez with the William C. Velasquez Institute. We are a paramount national organization dedicated to developing public Latino-focused public policies, and we also pay close attention to Latino opinion, demographic, and policy trends. So this conference will talk about or announce the endorsement of the Latino Police, National Latino Police Officers Association. We'll also hear on a very important study on the issue of arrests for marijuana in the Latino community. We'll hear from Stephen Gutwillig, Professor Harry Levine, and also Diane Goldstein. Without further ado, I will turn over the mic to Manuel Rodriguez from the National Latino Officers Association. We're going to have to change my computer.
Hello, good morning. My name is Officer Manuel Rodriguez from the National Latino Officers Association of New York City. As police officers want to protect the public safety and the Latino concerns for the well-being of our community, the National Latino Officers Association is proud to endorse Proposition 19, California's initiative to control the tax and tax marijuana. Our current probation laws are a failure. Despite having some of the highest marijuana penalties in the United States, the marijuana consumption, the prohibition is not initiative. It is dangerous and deadly. Keeping marijuana illegal has allowed the lucrative black market to have a hold on funneling billions of dollars into the pockets of the murderous drug cartels, terrorizing Mexico as well as domestic gangs, and threatening public safety in our community and the USA. And what do we want to gain from the hundreds of millions of dollars?
And what do we gain from the hundreds of millions of dollars spent each year enforcing the crimes of marijuana prohibition? Indeed, instead of making our streets safer or restoring our crumbling education system, we're spending that money incarcerating tens of thousands of people, including a disproportionate number of Latinos. California needs to create more opportunities for its people, but the current policy is closing doors for our children. But there is a way out of this. Passing Proposition 19 and ending prohibition will deal a huge financial blow to the cartels by bringing marijuana under the control of the law. It will allow more of our people to succeed by providing them with the education they deserve and the jobs they need to complete in today's tough economy. We support Proposition 19 because it is the right direction for California and because controlling and taxing marijuana will allow us to focus on doing the job we signed up to do. Sincerely, Anthony Miranda, the Executive Chairman of the National Latino Police Officers Association. Por comentar también. Si quieres hacer comentarios. En español también.
Bueno, la profesión 19 like we said in the letter from the Latino Officers Association, we can concentrate more of law enforcement on severe violent crimes than just marijuana. If the government legalizes it and take control of the taxes and the revenue of marijuana, that takes it away from the cartels. Let's go back to the 1920s and the 30s when alcohol was illegal in this country. The Al Capones and the John F. Kennedys made billions of dollars and got rich bringing in alcohol into this country. When it became lucrative for the government and they took over, now alcohol is legal. Also, the marijuana, for medical reasons, people smoke marijuana for conditions that are chronically ailing to them. Also, the government can regulate the taxes and the revenue there, just like medication and the pharmaceutical industry. So we, as the National Latino Officers Association, backing up California on this legislative bill, but we can concentrate more on crimes that are very violent. We have a nation that has been under attack, that we got more worries about terrorists and explosions and people getting killed all over the country. We have two wars going on. We could concentrate more on the criminal aspects of terrorism in the United States of America as law enforcement officers. Instead of going into the little communities and locking up Latinos and Afro-Americans and people in the minority district, we could funnel that money for better education in schools by the money that's revenue from the marijuana. And that's all I have to say on that.
Thank you. And what we'll do is we'll go through all these speakers and then we'll open up for questions. They say I'm not in español algo.
No.
Okay, so let's go now to, we have to change places, and I want to bring up Stephen Gutwilly. Stephen Gutwilly, you got to be on that.
Thank you, Antonio. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Stephen Gutwilly. I am the California State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance, which is the nation's leading organization that works to advocate alternatives to the war on drugs. This morning, the Drug Policy Alliance and the William C. Velasquez Institute are releasing a report, Arresting Latinos for Marijuana in California, which documents, it's a report that's being released in both English and Spanish. It's available on the Drug Policy Alliance website and soon on the William C. Velasquez Institute website. And what this report does is document very significant and widespread disparities in the arrest rates of for low-level marijuana possession. Specifically, it documents that Latinos in California have been arrested at double and triple the rate of whites particularly in the last few years. The context for this report is an extraordinary escalation in possession arrests of people in California for possessing small amounts of marijuana in the last 20 years. As illustrated by the chart on the back page of the report, misdemeanor, low-level, petty possession of small amounts of marijuana arrests for low-level marijuana possession has tripled in this state since 1990 from around 20,000 to well over 61,000 last year. police arrested more than 850,000 people in California for low-level marijuana possession since 1990, at a time when arrest rates for all other crimes in the state dropped dramatically. Low-level marijuana possession has been an outlier when it comes to arrest rates in this state. And at the heart of the dramatic increase of arrests for people possessing small amounts of marijuana in California have been substantial race-based disparities, specifically the targeting of African Americans and Latinos for this offense, and specifically the targeting of young African Americans and Latinos. And that's particularly important because U.S. government surveys for years indicate that young African Americans and Latinos consume marijuana at lower rates than young whites. U.S. government surveys indicate that young African Americans and Latinos consume marijuana at lower rates than their white counterparts. Despite that, in the last 20 years, arrest rates for possession of small amounts of marijuana by Latino teenagers have tripled. In the last 20 years, the arrest rate for Latino teenagers possessing small amounts of marijuana has tripled. So this report documents possession arrest rates in 33 cities in the state over the course. It averages 3 years of data to indicate that the data is not anomalous to any 1 year. The report finds that the three cities with the highest arrest rates for Latinos possessing small amounts of marijuana are Glendale, Burbank, and the city of Orange. In addition to indicating that Latinos have doubled to triple the likelihood as whites of being arrested for possessing small amounts of marijuana, the report indicates that Latinos are also arrested at rates that are substantially disproportionate to their percentage of the population in those cities. An example of that would be that in Irvine, Latinos represent less than 9% of the city's population, yet around 20% of all people arrested for possessing small amounts of marijuana. And in San Jose, Latinos are just about just over 30% of the population of that city, yet represent about 55% of all people arrested for possessing small amounts of marijuana. I'm going to conclude with just a couple of observations. The first is that we are convinced that Latinos are actually substantially undercounted in criminal justice data in California. And that, as some of you may know, there is a substantial amount of subjectivity built into the ethnic classification of arrestees in California. And since the FBI does not break out Latinos in national arrest data, California is not required to track it and report it to the federal government. Second, the disparities that are documented in this report are the result of routine, pervasive, system-wide police practices. The disparities in arrest rates of Latinos and African Americans for possessing small amounts of marijuana is not the result of racist cops here and there or even racist police departments. This is a statewide, system-wide phenomenon. Arrests for having small amounts of marijuana have serious consequences. They create permanent drug arrest records that can easily be found on the internet by prospective employers, schools, banks, credit agencies, landlords, creating obstacles to education, to housing, to employment for young African Americans and Latinos who already face substantial obstacles. One guilty plea for marijuana possession can deny a legal immigrant reentry into this country. Two guilty pleas for marijuana possession can trigger mandatory deportation. And then finally, the recent downgrading by the governor in signing Senate Bill 1449, which lowers marijuana possession from a misdemeanor to an infraction, is absolutely a step in the right direction. But we anticipate that the targeting of young African Americans and young Latinos will continue in California because citations for marijuana infractions do not trigger the court costs that police may be concerned about, and they are no longer required to publicly report the number of infraction citations that they issue. So a year from now, we won't be able to tell you the number of citations that have even been issued by law enforcement. And the bottom line, of course, is that police practices are unlikely to change simply because the nature of the offense has. And so it's been a pleasure to be with you. The primary author of the report, Professor Harry Levine from Queens College, is on the phone with us if you have any questions about the methodology of the report. Thank you very much.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
Welcome back, everyone. 46 after the hour, and as we do every Wednesday, we're here with Dr. Mitch, and welcome back to the show, sir.
Pleasure to be back.
Oh, we're glad to have you, and we're going to be taking calls here at 971-533-7111 and your live chat questions in our chat room. But before we do, we always give Dr. Mitch the first word to tell us if there's any new studies or new cannabis science or anything he'd like to talk about to begin the show.
Riveting new work out of Australia suggesting that daily cannabis users are less likely to be obese.
Oh,
I know everybody was stunned to hear this, but in fact, those are exactly how the data turned out. I do think that we all, you know, have a certain amount of pleasure we want to get out of life. Some folks turn to food, and those who turn to cannabis may not turn to food as excessively as you might guess, given the plant's notorious impact on appetite. And we also have some other data suggesting that cannabis seems to buffer against some of the cognitive impairments caused by alcohol, at least in the long term. It is definitely not the thing to do while you're drinking alcohol, but folks who do use alcohol and cannabis seem to show fewer neuropsych deficits in the long run than folks who use alcohol alone. We know cannabis has wonderful neuroprotective factors, and here's some interesting data consistent with that idea.
Yeah, Carrie brought that to us in our news today about those neuroprotective effects, and I hadn't thought of that it wasn't necessarily people who were drinking and smoking at the same time, but it was just people who drank and also smoked.
Indeed, that looks like the case. They did not assess the simultaneous use, and data from my student Sarah Smucker actually suggests that can be particularly problematic in other ways. But, again, I'm not recommending heavy drinking. In fact, it'd be best to not drink so much alcohol because its cognitive impairments are pretty well documented. But the cannabis does seem to protect some folks against those.
What are some of the things that your student found about the simultaneous use of alcohol and cannabis?
The sad part was, at least in Sarah's data set, was that those were the folks who were more likely to report dependent symptoms. And I was a little concerned because, in fact, they were reporting more cannabis-dependent symptoms, but I think it's hard to tell if these, in fact, were confused alcohol withdrawal and alcohol-dependent symptoms instead. So they'll say, you know, when you don't have this drug, do you feel withdrawal? Well, cannabis withdrawal is pretty notoriously silly. I think that a lot of these folks were taking their acute hangovers and thinking, oh, this must be from cannabis, and sort of then messing up that whole idea.
And with respect to the other study about the obesity, was there any correlation or anybody taking a look at whether or not it was that cannabis consumers in general might be more likely to be vegetarian or have different dietary concerns?
In fact, that seems like the ideal thing to do next. Now, this only showed up in young adults. This was not the 40 plus crew like us. We gotta take it a little easier. But I do think the habit of not eating red meat may definitely be an important confound that was not assessed this time.
I saw you looking at my spare tire here, Dr. Mitch. I knew who you were talking to. All right, let's go to the telephones. We've got a call coming in here from the 260 area code. 260, you are on the air with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. What's your question?
Yes, I have a question for the doctor about drug tests.
All right, go ahead.
I don't normally smoke pot. I went to a party the other night and took a couple hits of some okay stuff. I haven't smoked in about 2 or 3 months. How long is that going to stay in my system?
Sad but true, unless you've got a giant vat of water right next to you right now, that could be at least a week or two getting rid of that. And unfortunately, only time and water are the documented things that can really help a urine screen come up negative. I know that there are tons and tons of products out there that claim to do that. I'm not saying they don't work. I'm just saying it's hard to publish data to suggest that they do. And if they do, it doesn't seem to show up in the scientific journals. But by all means, a 64-ounce bottle of water is going to be your best friend for the next couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call. We appreciate that. We can take more calls here at 971-533-7111. In the meantime, we'll go to our chat room, and you can sign into our chat room by creating yourself an account at stickum.com and sending us a friend request. Matter of Liberty has a question. What are the dietary properties of eating hemp seed? Is it really full of complete proteins?
In fact, hemp seed is a very desirable combination of the essential amino acids and has damn near all the other ones you could possibly need as well. It's a nice source of some of the more rare minerals that we often don't get in our diets. And at least if it's grown for food, it tends to be, you know, low in pesticides and any oddball anti-nutritional stuff that we're often worried about in our foods. The protein is very much like the protein we find in egg. It's really digestible. It's really, really good for you. They're wonderful roasted and salted up or spiced up. They can be ground into a wonderful flour. And in truth, it's a wonderful, wonderful source of vegetable protein. I hope to see more and more of it in foods available around the United States.
Yeah, and not only around the United States, but I'd like to see it around the world. Whenever I see those commercials on TV of people starving in these, you know, sub-Saharan African countries, I think of how easily hemp could grow in some of these places and how much it could supply. It's a real shame that we prohibit that. I've been watching the chat room, and there was a comment that came up that led me to think of a question, and the commenter was saying that World of Warcraft, the online role-playing video game, is more addictive than marijuana. And so I was wondering if you had any thoughts about that, about people's overuse of some of these online video games that we hear about where you get to be a role-playing character and some people's lives just get real sucked into that.
The journal Addictive Behaviors had an article on this a few years ago, and it was before the games were quite as good as they are now, but they pointed out that although there is a very small subset of folks who really do get lost in this kind of internet addiction version of the games, you don't see the classic dependent symptoms, so you don't see withdrawal, for example. You don't really see tolerance to the games, despite how people tend to get sucked in a little bit. After a certain point, they do tend to show saturation with it. And you don't often see the interpersonal difficulties that you see with, say, hard drug use or something like that. Nevertheless, I feel like the potential for problems is really there. And if you find that, for example, you have decreased your exercise, your social contacts aren't as good, and things like that in World of Warcraft or any of those games. It's often funny how people who play them a lot don't actually report they're getting more pleasure from them, and that when they do get out and go, you know, have coffee with their friends or something like that, how much happier they are. And so by all means, chart your own mood, see how much you're playing the game and how happy you are, and then take a week off and see how your week is that way. And a lot of folks are stunned to learn that, in fact, they're just as happy playing a little as they were playing a lot, which is, you know, a wonderful message that a little is enough.
Yeah, you know, I was one of those kids with the backpack full of Dungeons & Dragons books and cups full of weird-shaped dice. I took one look at World of Warcraft and knew it would be crack to me, and I stayed away. So I don't really know a whole lot about it. Going back here to that study about the obesity and the people using that use cannabis were less likely to be obese, Patriot Blaze makes an interesting comment as to why he's lost weight. He's been, you know, using for 8 months now, and he's dropped 40 pounds, and he says, why? Because when I smoke, I have less back pain. When I have less back pain, I want to get around and be more active. Is that another thing that we might be able to tease out of that data?
Oh, that's a delightful way to look at this. And in fact, the assessment of exercise on this was not particularly well done. And I feel like particularly among medical users, that is a key contributor to your weight. Fulton's lab showed that folks who were smoking in the lab tended to sit around a little more, and their metabolisms tended to slow. But, you know, these are people who would normally be moving around more. I think that that's a wonderful way of thinking about this research, and perhaps it's time for me to gather a little data myself.
All right. Yeah, let's do some more study. We got a question from Johnny Vision, who wants to know, what are you doing to help pass Prop 19?
It's funny because literally 1 minute before I came on here, I was sending an email to some friends of mine in Northern California who were confused about Prop 19 and medical users and thought that somehow medical users were going to suffer if it passed. And I reassure them and everyone, no, that's not the case at all. Of course, I've thrown some money where my mouth is, and that's been helpful. I've also contacted a couple of USC grads who remember me from the drug class out there and asked them to be canvassers. But by all means, there's more work to be done. So tonight I'm giving a talk here in New York explaining Prop 19 and encouraging all my undergraduates here to contact everybody they know there to, again, make sure everybody's out there voting.
And as a psychologist and someone who's studied marijuana extensively and marijuana use and abuse extensively, how do you convince the people who are out there in California and maybe they voted for Prop 215 and they're all about medical and they support that, but they're still having problems getting on board with Prop 19? How is it that you go about convincing them?
The clincher here is not so much my knowledge of marijuana research as it is my knowledge of persuasion. And what often happens in studies of persuasion is you got to get somebody to say yes to some small principle-based idea. For example, do they think people should go to jail for owning a plant? Anyone who says, yeah, I think people should go to jail for owning a plant, obviously I've got a very different persuasion task ahead of me. But if they're willing to say, no, I don't think anybody should go to jail for owning a plant, now I've got them saying yes, and I've got something that they would have to now be inconsistent with if they're really going to say, no, I don't support Prop 19 after that. And so if I can go from nobody should go to jail for owning a plant to here's an opportunity to tax and regulate and make sure nobody goes to jail for owning a plant. Wouldn't you agree with that? Right? And then gradually these smaller and smaller steps, suddenly nobody wants to be inconsistent. Nobody wants to seem like a flip-flopper. And sure enough, they're at least willing to say, okay, I'll look into it. And then begging them to commit to vote just to go to the polls. I'm saying, whatever you think about Prop 19, would you please just go to the polls? Because I feel like turnout is going to be our friend on this one. The more people we get out there, the more we're going to do.
Oh, that's so fantastic. And Dr. Mitch, you'll be able to stay with us for a little bit in hour two?
That'd be ideal.
All right. We're going to take some more questions after the break. For those of you listening on the podcast, you got to tune in live if you want to get both hours of Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. We'll be right back after this. For those of you listening live, for those of you on the podcast, we'll see you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.